What is this shift?
Ready, go.
Go.
Animation, welcome to the shift hit the fan.
Trying to pump ourselves up for this one. Get psyched up.
We got this. Too much dead energy in the room or space.
Dead, yeah. Death. Things are dying. For me, for sure. But it's exciting. Don't worry. And we're going to talk about these beauties right here today.
The magical wonder cards.
Yeah. Today we pulled the Five of Swords, I mean Five of Wands in reverse. And the star as the hidden energy. I'm going to put it in the back so that the light doesn't hit it.
Kaboomadoom.
Yeah. And more than ever today, we're going to look at just the images. At least I am. Elias has already been doing this. But I'm just looking at the images and what comes up for me in that sense. Rather than what I think I know about the cards. So, yeah, who's going to start us off today?
Go for it.
All right. It's me. I have been chosen. okay. So what came up for me, I'm going to start with this. The Five of Wands. And I don't know why I wanted to call it swords. Maybe I'm overthinking it. Now that we started. But so what came up for me, letting go of anything I think I know about this card, was when they're in reverse, it no longer looks like a friendly competition. It looks like teamwork. It looks like there are these people that I can count on. That are going to help. Like, we all have the same interest in not falling into whatever's down there. The unknown, right? So we're using these to build something together. We've got what just came right now was like, we've got the four plus one. And it's that one that's like, okay, what are we going to do with this extra one? Because we've got the stability with this, but we know we could use that extra one for something too. Let's start laying it down to see what. And it's almost like an agreement that. I feel like it's just, they're just it kind of in tune with each other. Like they can read each other's mind. And
there's a playfulness to the men themselves too. And that playfulness also creates an in tune feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I get teamwork. I get there's like when things get turned upside down, I got my team. We're in sync. We know what we need, and things are gonna be okay. And. That kind of goes with the star. There's like this, what's hidden underneath that, it's like maybe a silent knowing of our roots, maybe our nature. This may be the force that's driving that, even though that's not what's predominant, because we're focused on not falling and hitting whatever it is in the unknown that's, up there. What I noticed too about this, besides the vulnerability that you see, the vulnerability of being new, being like having what we've come from, Creator, and all the little sparks that, that are going to be. It's like the separation, that the individuation. This is the creator being creating new beings. Here we are, fully fledged beings. But the vases, it looks like they're not going to run out of water. The flow that's coming out of them is like, just seems like it's never going to come out. It just keeps giving. And you're pouring both into the emotions and the what we call the reality or the physical. Yeah. What do you think?
I like that idea with the stars being like other intelligence and other intelligences and spirits out there. The way that I see the cards is like I almost feel like they're attached to the ceiling, and they're trying really hard to like not lose their sticks and their resources. They've got all these things that they're trying to do, and they're trying not to lose what they're building, what they're creating. Like it's falling out from them, but just like they're almost like their playfulness is kind of creating it. And then getting back to the star, the hidden energy, for me, what I saw was like the big star, that's the main focus that we have, our goal that we want to achieve. But then there's all these little stars that distract us from the thing that we want to do. And we think that those are the things that we want to do, but it's a distraction. And so I see her, she's in her vulnerability, enjoying this vulnerability, but like dumping out her resources, but she's also missing it with the other one. She's not dumping out the resources into the thing that she wants. She's accidentally dropping that from behind her as she's doing her thing. And I was just thinking of those stars, the little stars being like side quests and like spirits in some ways of like the voices that are all around us telling us different things. And I think these side quests can be a beautiful activity for us to do. But they're also still the distraction from the main star, but the distraction that could lead us back to the same to the star. Reminds me of somebody, a story that I heard a while back, where this dad and his son were driving out somewhere. They were kind of lost, and they came to a fork in the road, and they said a prayer. They asked to which direction they needed to go, and they both got a strong feeling to go down one road, and that road ended up being a dead end. And they were like, well, why? The son was like, well, why does that happen? And or why did that happen? Doesn't God or the creator doesn't he love us or whatever? And the moral of the story was that sometimes we get sent down those paths so that we have a sure knowledge of the direction that we need to go. And sometimes we need to fail and feel like we're losing our sticks and have those times of conflict so that we know what is the direction that we really need to be going in? What's that sure direction? Where's that star? Where's that main light that we're looking for? And so as we continue to be vulnerable, and I think we get that distracted feeling of, I'm being vulnerable, I'm doing the work, I'm doing all these things. It's awesome. I love being out in the wild and being one with my true nature. And we're doing all these different things, but I think they're often distractions from the main focus that we want to have. And we'll go on these side quests. We're going to listen to these voices that say, hey, come over here, try this. And it'll be good to go down those paths. But as we go down those paths, we just ask ourselves, what am I learning here, and where's my focus? And we don't have to doubt the path that we're on, because it is the path. But we can realize, all right, well, what's this? When it comes to an end, when we lose our sticks and we feel like we're falling apart, our projects are falling apart, or whatever it is, we can just ask ourselves, all right, well, what am I learning from this? And we just pick ourselves up and keep going. We don't have to worry about, is this the correct path, or is this, that, or the other? We can be in our vulnerability still, be in our vulnerability still, and continue to grow and explore and find those exciting areas in life that really are leading us to our true self and our true nature and who we are inside. What are your thoughts?
You reminded me of looking at the things that are in the background, right? The I had said the little bird.
A buddy.
The little bird is the one that, what came to mind in looking at the little bird was, oh, this is the little bird that tells everybody when it's your birthday. Right? That a little birdie told me it's your birthday. So it's like and I think I said this already, like it, that's what had me think, like, oh yeah, this is, we're in our birthday suit. This is our nature back here. This is what we came from. So it's like a silent knowing in this image. A for me, it's a constant pouring out into having a foot in each world, but it being hidden to us is that we don't realize, we don't remember that it's happening, but it's what's running the show. It's our nature that has us get through all of these things, and has the right people, our right support team, come and help us through these things, whether we realize it or not. Even if we don't have this physical evidence of seeing the teamwork, it's there. And I get a lot of comfort in these, 'cause we're going through stuff. I woke up in a funk. I don't know why. Yesterday I was all in love, right? And for no reason either. But I know I'm going through certain changes in my life where I think I'm going back to the nature rather than the Frankenstein that I had built and talked about, the Frankenstein's creature last week. Right now I'm going back to my roots, my nature, and if that looks like, being an alien and being vulnerable and being quiet like I used to be, I'm okay with that. I'm going to see what I can build now that I've been through these life experiences, and I found my people, and I found, some stability, and I know that even though it's not fully formed yet, it's there, and I know it's there. That's what came to mind for me. I get comfort. Like, I'm gonna be okay. You're gonna be okay. Everything's gonna work out. It just feels a little upside down in the moment, right? The unknown, what we can't see, but we got it.
Yeah.
I've definitely made it
We got
personal.
this. When I think looking at the Frankenstein, like I think that is part of our nature. It's just like the little bits and pieces of us that we've collected as a human being. And they kind of lead us to like fill in those seams, those sutures that have pieced us together, fill it all in with light and become ourselves, and transform those parts of us that feel so fragmented. Just put it all together and transform and transmute whatever it is that we see that's ugly, because that ugliness is the beauty that's within us.
Yeah, but see, that reminds me more of Sally from Nightmare Before Christmas, because she's the one that's pieced together, but from pieces of herself rather than pieces of other people, which is what the creature is, the monster is, and why he looks so monstrous is that he's picking, he's like, Frankenstein has created what he thinks, you know. If you collect from other people and create this being from other people, you're not creating yourself. But with Sally, she's just scarred up. She's just piecing herself back together, which I think the Sally is more, because I've helped my monster go through her death, right? I've held her, I wept with her. Because I know that those pieces were created from others for others, not for myself. It's like trying to get their love rather than my love, right? And then creating this creature that that wasn't going to get the love I was seeking. So that's the context that I've had it, but I totally now, you know, owning. Now that I've already been cut up and been put back together and I've gone through those experiences, now I can. And I love the Sally image, because I've had that sort of, I'm scarred up. Like, I have all these all over my body. I'm like, I'm just pieced together, just like Sally. So she's been an archetype for me for a while. And So I love that's what that reminded me of, you saying it is us. It's true now. If you get back to your nature, now she has a more beautiful form. And that is, it's the Frankenstein becoming the Sally. I love that. I love that image.
Yeah, it's really cool. Yep. Because in the end, we are just all pieced together. But I think there's that star, there's that point of self inside of us, the true nature that's inside of the piece together. And we eventually get to own all the pieces that we are. And I think that's where Sally is. She's like, this is me. This is the thing that I have pieced together for me. And I think the transition that I see in our lives is kind of what you were saying of, I've pieced all these things together, or like the world seems, it seems like the world has pieced all these things together on me. But now I get to own those things. And now I don't have to be the thing that I have actually pieced together for me. For anybody else. Like, I'm not me because this thing happened, or because you want me to do this, because this expectation. I'm me because of me. And that's what I enjoy being. And I think that's the difference between the world putting us all together and us owning our own different pieces of who we are. And it's that ownership of, this is who I am. This is what I've gathered. This is what I've collected as my own star seed in this physical body. And I get to be that. You know, I get to embody that as I continue to grow. And that ownership's hard though, you know. It's saying, yeah, I've formed this personality and you probably don't like it, but this is what who I am, and this is what I am, and this is what I want to do.
I've been the freak for so long that now I can own this thing that I've created. I love that. You know, right before you said ownership, I was like, that's what I was getting out of what you were starting to say. So I love that you just said it. The ownership is what it is.
My friend and I have this conversation. We've talked about, so in a lot of meditation type things and a lot of the mental health game, we talk a lot about not being our body and not being our mind, not being the thing, the part that is us. And my friend's like, no. That is me. That is mine. I want to own that. I want to feel my feelings. I want to feel like be all these things. And it's like torturous to her at times. And I have felt that too, of like, it's one thing to separate the thing from us. You know, oh, I have this thought going through my head. Okay, I can step back and say, oh, it's just a thought. But then I can go in and own that thought at the same time. Like, oh yeah, this is something that I've constructed and created, and this is beautiful and in the way that it is. And so you can have that play of self, bounce, like frequency of like bouncing into the physical and bouncing out of it. Because in the same sense that we are the observer, we are right now, we are also the physical. You know, this is part of us. It's a collective identity. You know, each cell has its own self, its own identity inside of it. And so we have to collect and own all those things while we're in this life. And if we don't have ownership of it, then it's going to continue to control us. You know, we're going to keep living out of harmony with the all the little pieces of self that are inside of us. But the more we say, oh, I see this part of myself for what it is. I see this thought for what it is. And I love that. And I accept it. And then we move on. And that thought just kind of gets integrated. Yeah, I felt that way. I was this thing. That is a part of me. And I get to choose, all right, what do I want to do with this self? How do I want to interact with it? How do I want to play with all these different team members, all these different resources that are inside of me? And then it's not this conflict of, oh, I gotta cut this habit. I gotta quit this thing. I gotta do this thing that's really hard. That, you know, it's the anti-colonial colonialization. We're not controlling our body. We're not controlling all these things. We're just looking at them, recognizing them, and saying, okay, I see you. And thank you for trying to take care of me and trying to help me through whatever this life is dishing out to me.
That I pulled up the star as you were talking, because it felt like you were just describing that this whole process, like the creator being the separation from this, you know, these are the same, made of the same material, they were just separated to become individual pieces, and that's what occurs. Like, it's different because they are individuals. The individualization, individuation, what have we called the process? Individuation process.
Individuation.
Right. Each one of these separating themselves to become their own thing, right? And that's what being the observer and being the creator. but being yourself in individuated, your whole, that's the whole process that I felt like you were just explaining. Like, and that's what occurs. Like, it's others, like the creature, before the ownership, before realizing it's all just one thing. It's all just, we've named these things individual things now, so they're individual because they're named. And that's what separation is. It's like thinking they're separate, but they're all one. And the oneness is the Sally pieced together by all of these things. But as the
And
observer, it could occur as a monster.
wait, say that again.
I said, but as the observer, it could, it you could, it's all about perspective. You're, if you're focusing on the emotions of it, it occurs like it's not you, like it's not the
Yeah.
Sally. Just depends on where you're leaning, on the re on the physical or on the emotional or on the full picture.
I love that you bring up individuation. I think I was having that same thought right when you said it too. And I love breaking apart the word individuation. So for me, it's the process of becoming an individual. And what's an individual? Well, a being that is in undivided. So being the process of becoming a peace that is undivided. And so it's kind of like you're just saying, like you're taking all these pieces and getting to own them. You're looking at yourself, your true self, and individualizing yourself, you know, becoming an individual by also accepting all the parts of who you are. And I think that's such a beautiful process. And it's just owning your own little piece of who you are in the collective identity, and becoming so unique that you are helpful to everyone else. And I think there's such beauty in getting to do that, because each cell that we have has its own, like, yeah, there are liver cells and skin cells and all these things, but each one will have its own unique identity and its unique process, and specifically in its own location. You know, one liver cell that's closer to the inside is going to be doing some different thing than a liver cell that's on closer to the outside. And same thing with our skin, you know, and they get to go through this process of becoming who they are and specializing in what their tasks are. And so I think it comes back to that, like, that main focus. What's the main focus? What's the star? And what are those little stars? And finding what is our main star? What is our specialization here in this life? And can we own that? And can we own and focus all of our energy and attention into just being who we are and just being, just existing? And I think that's the beautiful thing too, is just exist. Just get to be. Just exist out here in this life.
Yeah, that's the experience that I've been having is now that I've given myself the freedom to not have to be, you know, pieced together for others, I can just be and see what shows up. You know, I don't have to fix or change anything. I don't have to help. There's no one that needs me, right? That needs me to collect information for them, to help them. I just looked up on my wall and it says, teach me to fly wing to wing with the great spirit.
There you go. Well, and I think that there's, because I think about like your situation, you don't have kids, but I do have kids. And so I think about that of no one needs me to be a certain way. And I think that's true and like not true in some senses, because my kids, they need me. They need someone to be there and to love them and to have that reliance on someone who can show them the way, show them the culture that they were born into. And hopefully to show them that they can find their own process inside of this culture, this structure that we live in. But I think also some of the process I've gone through is like me not needing them. Like I don't need my kids to have a purpose or to exist in this life or to do whatever thing I need to do. And so I don't put that pressure on them. You know, your process of individuation doesn't have to be a burden on me, or doesn't have to, like, I don't have to put my own process of individuation on your process, but I accept your process as part of mine, and I want to help you with that. And I think that that's where the beauty comes in, is like when you are focusing on yourself, you can look at somebody else's process and accept that as yours, but then you can also say, no, that's still your own process. You know, this is still the thing that you have to do and have to figure out and navigate on your own. But I'm here doing the same thing you're doing. And so you break away from the codependency and you just get into this, we're just getting to live and have fun and experience this life together in all the beautiful glory that this life gives us.
It reminds me of my own parenting, like because that's what I was reminded of in this process of, oh, that's funny, in this process of letting go of the creature, is like, why am I even that way when I had the perfect parenting for me? I had so much freedom as a child. I had nobody like, you know, watching over and observing and trying to correct me or whatever. I was given freedom to go explore the world, to explore myself, to find out, you know, who I am and create myself. And out of a, that's the way that I used to approach my growth and helping others grow as well. And then, you know, I had a relationship that was asking me constantly for advice. So I developed, you know, really in an 8-year process, that bad habit of constantly having to answer questions. So I changed the game up for myself based on one person's needs. They needed, because they did need a parent. They didn't have a stable relationship with their parents. So I was acting as a parent for them. And and I know that that's where that came from. And I forgot that I had all the freedom that I did as a person. And that used to be my approach. But, you know, forgetting that everybody has different needs, you know, every child, like there are people who have had the same upbringing that I did, but to them they felt abandoned. It wasn't what they needed. They needed something from their parents that for me was exactly the freedom that I needed to be so solid in myself, to be as confident as I was and all that. So yeah, it's like it's both what you're saying and what I'm saying, that there is something that you need to be for your kids, and they're gonna let you know what it is, but they also do need to figure it out for themselves. They need to know what they need from themselves as well.
Right.
It's like a holding space for them. And then just accepting what it is that they communicate. I need this from you, even if they don't directly say it. You can pick up on it because you can observe. You know what I mean?
Yeah, kids are magical. They just absorb their environment. They absorb the things that they need. And if we create that harsh environment, then they're gonna create some a lot of protection around them. But if we create a warm, loving, and free environment, and they get to explore and find that nature inside themselves, and there's a lot of beauty in that. And life is super interesting, you know. There's no one right way of anything. It's just we get to discover ourselves and explore that and explore our essence and our being, and then this thing, this physical thing we call life. It's cool.
I'm complete. What about you?
I'm complete. So
Whole,
go find your
perfectly
true
complete.
nature.
Yes. Yes. Go create yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, shift.
Go own your own Frankenstein from last week.
Yeah. Own your Frankenstein. Be your Sally. It's all good. We're all just little pieces of each other.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful.
Sure is. All right, fans, go be the shift in the world. We love you.
Love
Go
you.
be magical and wonderful.
The end. Let the shift hit the fan. Let the shift hit the fan.